welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Been too good to you, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. The name of our Lord is worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for removing the scales from our eyes and allowing us enough to see that it was you all along. And that gives us hope to know no matter what we have or don't have, it's still going to be you. Thank you, Waymaker, for making another way. Thank you that you are the way, truth, and the light. Thank you, Lord, that your way included us. Didn't have to include us. You could have done all of this without us. But even right now, you invite us. Preach now, Lord. Do it, Jesus. If you don't do it, it won't be done. Have your way through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. While God is resting and heavy on us, would you meet me in the word for us on this morning in 1 Kings chapter 19. And I thank you for praying. Please continue to pray. The enemy has no place here. We are emptied and surrendered vessels available to be filled by God's Holy Spirit. 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 8 from the New Revised Standard Version. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And the Bible says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, be encouraged, and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones, and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went, and the strength of that food, 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Title for today, Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey. My friends, you got hard times. I got hard times. problems are common to all of us. All humans have hard times, and you've been through some stuff, and I've been through some stuff. Some of us might have been chased down the block a couple times, Bishop. Some of us, Deacon Lee, might have been called out on the playground one or two or three times. Deacon Lee said Baltimore Avenue. But even today, as we sit here at church, and for some of us listen to this message on the podcast, we could probably sit down and write out a list of issues that we have now, have had in the past. And it may be true that you got 99 problems, but Ahab and Jezebel ain't one. These people were crazy. Ahab and Jezebel were the current king and queen's consort over Israel. And they were called by scripture, he was called by scripture, the most evil of all the kings who defied the sacred more than any of his predecessors. And his partner in crime was his boo Jezebel. Worse than Jeroboam and King Baasha, who caused Israel to sin. Worse than King Elah and Zimri, who followed in their predecessor's steps. And then there was Omri, who ruled and led Israel from Samaria, who did evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking the Lord's people to worship idols. And then his son Ahab followed in Omri's footsteps, but far surpassed his father in sinning against God as he led Israel. And his selection of his wife Jezebel further exhibited his defiance as he brought along with her the establishment of temples to worship Baal, thus gaining the infamous description as Ahab, the one who did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, God of Israel, than any of the kings of Israel before him. And it was into this time in Israel's history that God calls and sends the prophet Elijah, Eliah, Yahweh is my God. People knew when there was a prophet in the land. They knew when the prophet was in town. And so by this point in the story in 1 Kings, Ahab and Jezebel, they knew who Elijah was, and certainly he knew who they were because he had been sent to encounter them, the crazy people. And by this point in the narrative, Elijah had already confronted Ahab. The message to Ahab is that God would hold back the rain in light of their disobedience, so that by the command of God and the power of God, Elijah initiated a season in the land where not a drop of rain would fall unless at his word. On top of all of that, Elijah challenged and defeated the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel and killed the prophets. This act of violence further infuriated this royal duo, and the audacity, they thought, the audacity of one man claiming to be the voice of Jehovah God, a single man among many, proclaiming what thus saith the Lord without and in opposition to the sanctioning of the governing authorities. He didn't have permission to say what he was saying. And not only had this Elijah, Tishbite, been publicly victorious, he did this in public, but he had survived this confrontation to do greater works in the name of Jehovah. If he were not silenced, Demi, and punished, surely the daughters and the sons of Abraham might be encouraged to know that God's promise is true. If he were not silenced, then the people might believe that God was still with them and always would be, that God would always fight for them, and that God, their God, was greater than the idols, greater than the golden images that had been fashioned by men's lust-filled, prideful, and egotistical desires. And so here we are in verse 1. The Bible says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword, And then Jezebel, in response to that message from her husband, sent a messenger, a representative, to Elijah. Sometimes a representative will come and saying to Elijah on her behalf, so may the gods do to me and more also. And the New Living Translation says it this way, may the gods, she was saying, strike me and kill me if I don't make your life like the life of one of them who were killed by this time tomorrow. But that word life in scripture doesn't just mean his life. What she was saying to you, to Elijah, what you did to the prophets that represented me, not only do I want to take your life, but that word means your very breath. Your life, your soul is what she wanted. The part of you that you cannot see, the place of your emotion, your desire. She was trying to say, I'm going to take your whole life by this time tomorrow. And so Elijah, hearing this through the messenger, his heart became afraid. And so he ran. Bible says in verse 3, then he was afraid and he got up and he fled for his life. And King James says it this way, when he saw that, he realized that, when he considered all that she was saying, when he thought about what had already happened, and he saw the possibilities of his future, if he remained in that place, he arose and he went for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. Here's the movement. Let's follow his steps. He got the message from the messenger. In response, his heart was afraid. Out of that fear, it caused him to get up, and he started moving away from the place where he was and toward the wilderness. The wilderness, the uninhabited place. He heard the message. He was afraid. He got up. He left everything behind and started moving away. Away from the towns, away from the people, away from the crowds, away from the resources, away from it all. And now a full day's journey away, he didn't stop moving for one whole day. A full day's journey away, Elijah came to a tree and he stopped moving and he sat down. And he dwelt there. Verse 4 says it was a solitary tree. A broom tree, a broom bush, a juniper tree. And it was there all alone that Elijah prayed. This mighty warrior who had killed all the prophets of Baal in the presence of the people. This prophet of God made a request to God in that moment. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. And do you know, church, take away my life? Do you know that word life that Elijah used that's recorded in scripture is the very same one that Jezebel used to threaten him? She claimed that she would take away his life, his soul, his desires, his peace. And now Elijah says that to God. Elijah offers it up to God in a show of desperate surrender, pleading with God that he might be relieved of this life. Because he couldn't see. He could no longer consider. He didn't know how he could possibly go on from here. It is enough, oh God. Oh Lord, please take away my life. He offered this prayer up to heaven. Up to the God who formed him, up to the God who called him, up to the God who sent him. And after these words, Elijah does a very human thing, church. He fell asleep. And the Bible says, now, Suddenly, all at once, a different messenger was sent. You do know that messengers are always being sent to us with instruction and guidance and direction for our lives, but you ought to know, church, that not every messenger is sent for your good. The ones, the messengers that Jezebel sent were carrying to Elijah messages of death. But this messenger, this one was an angel of the Lord. You ought to find out first who the messenger is sent by before you receive the message and allow it to move you from one place to another. This messenger came with good tidings. The Bible says, suddenly, wake up. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. Arise and eat, church. This is a message to Multitaskers Anonymous. Arise and eat. Doesn't say, arise and eat after you send three more emails and make four more phone calls. It says, arise and eat. Now think about it. You heard the story as it's been told. In response to the bounty that had been placed on his head, Elijah left and he walked, right? Walked into the desolation, the emptiness of the wilderness, leaving everything behind. The Bible didn't say that along the way Elijah stopped at the Super Walmart and picked up some supplies, and he was fast asleep, and God says through God's messenger, get up and eat. No Grubhub, no Uber Eats, but he woke up, wiped the stuff out of his eyes, and there it was, a cake of bread, freshly baked, on hot stones, and a jar of water. Someone else, Reverend Pyfrom, had taken the care to crush the grains. Someone else mixed the dough. Someone else, Deacon Charlotte, started the fire. This time, Elijah, you don't have to call down fire from heaven. Someone else took care of that for you. Someone else, Reverend Horton, heated the stones. Somebody else formed the cakes. Somebody else flipped the bread over before it burned. Somebody else, leader, did what was necessary to collect clean, drinkable water in the middle of the wilderness and set the table for the prophet so that it would be ready for him when he woke up. Someone else, church. And the Bible says in verse 6, Elijah, he ate and he drank and he laid down again. Laid down again. The angel came a second time and touched him. Now, this word touch, this is not the kind of touch like if you have a newborn baby and you caress in their forehead, wake up. This is the kind of touch the language means is if you got a teenager and it's time for them to go to school and you... Black mother, black father, you touch them. DHS, you touch them. That's what the angel did this second time. The Bible says, touched. There was urgency in this moment. Wake up. Urgency, urgency, urgency from the messenger. And because this time, not like the first time. The first time the angel said, get up and eat. But this time, the get up and eat would come with additional instructions and more information was going to be the reasons why, Elijah, this was going to come to you now through the messenger, more information. So right now, you got to get up right now. You got to get up right now and eat. You got to get up right now and eat. What'd you say, Lord? The angel said, get up and eat. Nothing else. Get up and eat. Otherwise, if you don't, you have to do this now. Get up right now and eat what has been prepared for you, because the journey will be too much for you. The journey, the way is too much. It's too great for you, Elijah. This is a message not just for Elijah, but to all who have been formed by the loving hands of God, to all who have been called, all of us who have been called, you have been called and sent for such a time as this. These words from the messenger are not just an indication of this man's weakness in the moment, but they are an acknowledgement of the reality that this journey, church, is hard. The upward way, the path of faithfulness, the straight and narrow, is wrought with dips and curves and plains and valleys. Thorny bushes, thieves along the path, and murderers are there on this journey, Elijah. And some of these people are strangers, and some of them are familiar. Some of these folks are other people, and some of them are us. This journey, there are demons on the outside and whispers calling from the enemy in our ear. There are threats against the people, Goliath. There are loved ones who are suffering, like Job, telling us to curse God and die. This journey includes dry places where it hasn't rained for years. This journey, it might have you feeling imprisoned or literally incarcerated. Raymond Santana and Kevin Richardson and Antoine McRae and Youssef Salam and Kyrie Wise. This journey may have droughts that are sanctioned, sent, and allowed by the rainmaker. There are stormy seas on this journey, Elijah. There are so many experiences, believer, that can cause us to run away into the wilderness without a plan or provision. And there are times in the midst of this journey when we may not remember who we are. And we may not remember who our God is. Tell the truth, y'all. We may not remember how our God has taken care of us before. Because don't you remember, Elijah? Don't you remember in this same journey you've been on? If we follow the chronological narrative just a couple chapters ago, Elijah has always been given instructions to go and when to go and where to go. And he was always told that he would have his needs met when he got there. You remember? Every time the prophet was taken care of. You know, the first time he came on the scene and he stood before the king and he told him that no rain would fall for the years. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came to him saying, Elijah, go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself in the Wadi Cherith at the Jordan. And there I have commanded the ravens to feed you. And the ravens brought him bread and meat morning and evening. And then it happened again. The Lord provided for him. The Bible says that the Lord came to him again saying, now go to Zarephath. And there I have someone waiting and I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Elijah, you've been here before. And you know that there are so many ways that the Lord provides for you. Church, I know how it feels right now. I know what you see. But you know, and I know that you know, that there are so many ways that the Lord continues to provide for us. Follow the instructions. Get up and eat so that you can have strength for the journey. Before this journey is completed, Elijah was obedient to the instructions. Are we following the instructions of what the Lord is saying? Before the journey is completed, it'll take more than one filling. You do know that, right? We're not talking about salvation. That's perfect in Jesus. And when that happened, that's done. But God's resources, the presence of God, the power of God, the provision of God. You need one more than one meal. You do know that. You do know that you need more than one scripture. You need to pray more than one prayer. You have to take more than one nap. You've got to eat bread more than one time. You've got to rest in the bosom of the Lord more than once. You've got to take a bite of the bread of life more than one time. You do know that along this way, you've got to come back again and again and again. He'll take care of you, the very basic things that you need to survive. There's Netflix is showing a new show, a game show. It's called Awake. Awake. The contestants, they're competing for money, and they have to just do some pretty simple things, pretty simple tasks. It's not like Jeopardy. But one by one, they're eliminated for being the slowest or the weakest until they get to a winner. But they don't show up at the competition fresh from their rested hotel rooms. The trick is that when they start the game, they have been kept awake for 24 hours straight. So what might otherwise be a simple task, making cereal for your children, what otherwise might be something that's not too complicated, just making a phone call, showing up at work on Thursday. What might otherwise just be something that is routine day to day becomes tedious and even painful through their foggy brains. They're no longer able to think as quickly and their clumsy bodies from being so desperate for rest. And one of the contestants, as he was leaving in the interview, he said, "This is the most tired I've ever been. I just want to go to sleep." And that's the image. That's the image I get from the prophet Elijah in this moment, y'all. This, that his body is just aching for some very basic relief. 1943, a scientist, Abraham Maslow, proposed a psychological theory that suggested that humans can't be motivated to move forward in their life or to be satisfied in life unless they have five very basic levels of their life satisfied. And at the very foundation of this pyramid, in order for me to live my best life, the most basic of thing that I have to have is this: air to breathe, food to eat, water to drink, and sleep. Before I can do anything else, I have to have these things that are necessary for my survival. No matter how many prophets you've slain, church, No matter how many sermons you've preached, preacher, no matter how many Sunday school classes you've taught, no matter how many people you've led to Christ, deacon, no matter how many days you've served usher, it doesn't matter. No matter how many elections you've won, no matter how much money you've donated, no matter how many years you've served, there are some things that are common to all of us. And in this moment, Elijah was empty. In desperate need. Elijah the triumphant was in an empty place. And if we read ahead and we know the end of his story, he will encounter God. He will hear from God. He will be encouraged to continue on. But first, hear the Lord. Before the word can come, before the encouragement can come, before the Lord can walk heavy before Elijah in the mountain, before any of that, Elijah needed nourishment. He needed sleep. He needed something to eat. Could it be, my friends? Could it be, sister? Could it be, brother? Could it be, believers, that the Most High God, could it be, leader? Could it be, mother? Could it be, father? Could it be, prophet? Could it be, teacher? That before you go one step farther, before you go into the next hour, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next season, the next year, could it be that God will need to meet you along the way and send you a messenger and a meal? When are we going to be real about where we are right now? It's all right, it's quiet. Are we so super spiritual that we neglect the most basic things? Have we been so focused on winning the prize that we no longer realize just how the battles of this life have drained us? Can you even see anymore clearly? Or is it that all you can hear now is Jezebel's messenger echoing in your mind? Can you even imagine how 24 hours of sleep deprivation has affected you? You who have been pursued day and night by the enemy? How it can cause you to forget to eat a meal? Not the only one. Or to neglect the drinking of the water. Think about it. What was Elijah really running from? It's been written that Jezebel, that the gods that she swore by could do no harm. She swore by the false gods who had no power over Elijah's life. When you're tired, you run from things that ought not scare you. And while it may be tempting for us to judge whether or not Elijah was faithful for leaving or faithless for running away, it might be simply better for us and helpful for us on our own journeys to just consider the circumstances under which he found himself, why he left, and to celebrate the fact of what he found when he got where he was going. Thanks be to God. Elijah ran from danger. And thanks be to God, we ought to be grateful that he ran into God's grace. Because that's your story too, whether you tell the truth or not. He ran in fear and he ran into the nurturing arms of God. I'm almost done. El Shaddai, you know him. The Lord God Almighty, that God, that's where he ran into. God is the God of fire. God is the God who can consume the enemy. God is the God of the mighty works. God is the God of the healing of the nations. God is the God of our peace and our turmoil. God is El Shaddai, the breasty one, the mother one who cares for us, the one who rocks us to sleep, the one who wipes away our tears, the one who bandages up our boo-boos, the one who takes our temperature and tells us to lay down, the one who makes our soup and crackers just the way we like it. He is the all-sufficient God, the one who has set aside for us victories of the sword and soft and comfortable places to land in the midst of our confusion, in the middle of our weariness, surrounded by our fears and restless hearts. This is where Elijah ran, running into the arms of El Shaddai. Never makes you a coward. Running into the arms of El Shaddai does not make you a loser. Running into the arms of El Shaddai doesn't make you a quitter. You were sent, Elijah, to stand against the prophets of Baal in the presence of the people and to let the power of God move through you. It was never your job, Elijah, to convince Jezebel to confess Jehovah as Lord. Don't take on something that belongs to the Holy Ghost. It wasn't on you, Elijah, that the prophets didn't switch teams and come and serve Jehovah God. It was only your assignment, Elijah, to say the hard-to-hear thing, to speak truth into power, to say what the Lord instructed you to say, no more and no less. It was your assignment, Elijah, to go back to Ahab years later at the height of devastation in the land and to let him know that the Lord said that relief was coming and that the rains would come. You haven't lost, Elijah. Somebody needs to hear this is not the end for you. You won't die out here in the wilderness, Elijah. God sees you're empty, and he's waiting for you. Follow God's instructions through the messenger that he sends, through his word preached, written, and spoken by his people, by his spirit. And the Bible says he got up. Verse 8, he ate and drank, and then he went. He went on in the strength of that food. Somebody say that food. It may only take a sandwich or two. Say that food. Maybe just a nap for a few days. That food. He went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. Following those instructions to get up and eat in that moment because the journey would be too much was enough to sustain him for the season that was ahead. He's waiting for you, church, to give you what you need. He's waiting to strengthen you for the next journey, the next leg of this journey, for the work that lies ahead for you, Redeemer. Don't be afraid or ashamed to fall into his arms. Tell him the truth. Tell him how you really feel right now. Cry out to him about what you are afraid of. He already knows anyway. Run to him and tell him what you're running from. You are still called. You're still sent. And the journey has been both beautiful and scary. But I need you to know, Elijah, this is just chapter 19. There's still so much more for you. So don't be discouraged by what you see or how you feel right now. God says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of us of the things that the Lord has prepared for those that love him. Our minds cannot conceive what is next in God. So you need not be discouraged by what you think you cannot do, Elijah. For it is not by might, nor by power, not your power, but it is alone by God's Spirit. So lay down. Get up and eat. Let God give you the rest, the bread and the water and his presence, and that'll be all that you need. That is your strength for the journey. To God be the glory. Would you rest on your feet and celebrate the Lord?